You're on a long road trip, driving along the highway, and you realize it's that awkward moment where you know you've had too much coffee and you need a stop. And you see one of those green signs, those green highway signs up ahead on the horizon, and you think, finally, a bathroom. But the sign says, Bladworth, no services. Why? How can a town have no services? Not even an outhouse. And why does Bladworth sound so close to bladder, which is very, very full? Well, such was the town of Nazareth, where today's gospel reading takes place. Nazareth, where Jesus read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Nazareth, where Jesus preached. And Nazareth, where the congregation first said, wow, and a nanosecond later said, whoa, Nelly. Nazareth, where a sermon provoked a lynching, or perhaps, forgive the pun, a cliffhanger. This is a story that is told in Mark's gospel and Matthew's gospel and Luke's. But it's only in Luke's story that we hear the scripture that Jesus read and the sermon that he gave. It's only in Luke's gospel that we have some sense of how that congregation went from wow to whoa, Nelly. They went from aren't we proud of him to lock him up and throw the key away, or better yet, let's just throw him away. It isn't that Jesus, the hometown boy, is moving from the children's table to the adult's table, although that's probably part of it. And it's perfectly okay for Jesus to read those lovely words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Spirit has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of God's favor. Wow. Hey, isn't this Joseph's son? And then Jesus begins to interpret the scripture he's just read, saying, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. There's good news for us. Today we are released, recovered, free. Wow. But then, like many a preacher, Jesus doesn't know when to stop. He goes on. And the congregation goes from wow to whoa, Nelly. And they go from wow to whoa because Jesus tells them something they don't really want to hear. That the good news isn't just for them. The good news is for the outsiders. The good news is for people that aren't at all like us. Well, let's be clear, this isn't exactly news. Jesus didn't just make this up, that God's good news is for the outsiders. Jesus leans deeply into the scripture and pulls up stories the congregation would know very well. The Gentile widow who helped the prophet Elijah, and the Syrian leper who was cleansed. He could have also pulled up the story of Ruth, another outsider whose life demonstrated God's good news, or the story of ridiculous Jonah, who tried to shirk God's call to him to go to preach to the outsiders at Nineveh. Jesus leans into the sacred texts, the scriptures of the community. What's your relationship to scripture, to the Bible? Is it contested? Maybe a bit fraught? Perhaps a love-hate relationship? How do you hear scripture when you're sitting in worship? If you already know the story, do you tune out or lean in? Do you expect scripture to change you or challenge you? or comfort you? Do you find the stories of the Bible parallel your own life story, or even tell you your own life story? Does the Bible ever make you angry, defensive? Do you find joy in the Bible or courage? As Jesus discovers at Nazareth, the opening of Scripture doesn't always go well. Confronted by what they do not want to hear, the congregation becomes a mob. They wanted their congregation to be kind of like having an American Express card. Membership has its privileges. Instead, they find that they're being ignored by Jesus, who's leaving them behind to go to visit safe injection sites, refugee detention prisons, to the 62 Canadian communities living under boil water advisories, to family court, to ISIS camps, to couch surfers. Whoa, Nelly. What about us? Well, what about us? Lock him up, string him up, run him out of town, run him and his big fat running mouth right off the cliff. And that's where the congregation misses the mark, because their quarrel isn't with Jesus. Their quarrel is with their own scripture. They missed the mark. A truth has been spoken, and our job is to hear it and then to live it. When Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me," Jesus isn't claiming special insider status. He's simply saying, "This is why I do what I do." He's saying, "We're all in this together, and we won't be able to claim blessings for our own lives unless we claim them for others." Or as J.S. Woodsworth said it in his Grace Before Meals, he said, "We are thankful for these and all the good things of life. We recognize they are part of our common heritage and come to us through the efforts of our brothers and sisters the world over. What we desire for ourselves, we wish for all. To this end, may we take our share in the world's work." What we desire for ourselves, we wish for all. For Jesus, the words of Scripture do not set him apart, but rather draw him deeper into community, deep into places where some of us at least fear to tread, and where some of us are quick to judge and slow to love. He is inclusive in all the outrageous wrong ways that set our teeth on edge and make our consciences a bit defensive and maybe even bitter. All our divisions and judgments and us and theming are exposed, even as we join his ancient congregation in saying, "Whoa, Nelly." But God's arms are open, and ours can be open too. May the returning light warm us and open us, and may we wish and work for others all that we wish and work for ourselves. Amen.